Jesus, no other name, the name of Jesus. No other name, the name of the Lord. No other name, the name of Jesus is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. No other name but the name of Jesus is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power and of praise. By the name of Jesus, no other name. Jesus is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power and of praise. Shiribaya karabuko basi di 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 di. Ribaya karabuto se di 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 baya karabo shalaladi. No other name, shiri baya karabuto korabada di 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 karabata da 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 karabuko bakashi di 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 di. Ribaya karabata da 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 karabata da 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 karabata da 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 And worthy of power and of praise. No other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of the Lord. Shiri baya karaba da 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 is worthy of glory and worthy of honor and worthy of power and of praise. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father, that you are a good, good Father. That you are good in everything that you do. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do. Thank you for the new month. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do. Thank you for the new grace. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do, you do, you do, you do. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do, you do, you do, you do. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you do. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Your promise is so good, even when I don't even see it. I just wanna thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. All things work together for good of them who love you. All things work together for good of those who are called according to your purpose, according to your purpose, according to your purpose, according to the glory of your spirit. All things work together for the good of those who love you. Oh, all things work together for good, for good, for good, for good. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. All things work together, together for good. All things work together for good, for good, for good, for good. All things work together for good. All things work together for good. Together for good, all things work together for good. Shiri baya karabo tukuri bara bata karaba de 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 mo yoko baka shiri de 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 karabo tuko baka shiri de 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 baya karabo tuko baka shiri. All things work together for good. Father, I just wanna thank together for good. I just wanna thank you, Lord, for good. Thank you, Lord. Precious Savior, I give you thanks this morning. I worship your holy name. I thank you for you've gathered us. You don't gather us in vain, but you gather us to praise you. You gather us to worship your holy name. You gather us to lift up your name. Thank you, the Lord. You're concerned for us. You're concerned for our children. You're concerned for our families. Oh God, August Jesus. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Oh God, August Jesus. Thank you for your grace over them. Oh God, August Jesus. Your mercies over our family members, our brothers, my sisters, all my in-laws. Oh God, August Jesus. Thank you for my cousins. Oh God, for everyone that concerns me. Thank you for the church, for the leadership. Oh God. Thank you, the Lord. You're working it out. You're working it out that you've never left us alone. Shiri baya karabata 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 kashi. At each and every point, you've always walked with us, you've always guided us, you've always made a way where there was no way. God of God's cheese, and your name be praised, your name be glorified, your name be exalted, oh God, your name be lifted up on high. Rebata kadada baya karabutu goba kashi didididididide baya karabutu dudididide baya karabata dadadadada. All things were together for good, for good, for good, for good. All things work together 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 for good, for good, for good, for good. All things work together for good. You know things wrong. Speak to us this morning, Father God, in a language that we understand, oh God. Thank you for the new month. Thank you for the new day. Thank you for the new grace. Thank you for the new. You are making everything new. You are making everything new, Lord. Thank you for the new day. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. And it's another good morning that you can listen to God's word. And I thank you for joining in. I do not take it for granted that you're listening this morning. And I know that God is going to speak to us. He's going to touch us. He's going to minister to us in a special way. And when we look at what we've been going through in this week, we have seen that we have been learning about the person of the Holy Spirit and what has been important and core for us to learn is that we've learned that the Holy Spirit is God and just the understanding of the Trinity, that he is recorded as the third person of the Trinity, in that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, yet he is in equal measure God. He is in equal measure the Holy Spirit. The Father, and there is no difference in him being lesser. It's only that he, in the economy, or rather in the distribution of roles, or in the distribution of the persons, he is mentioned third. And but this does not make him less than God, but and just to understand that we have one God who is Yahweh or Jehovah, as or El Shaddai, or as he is known, or Elohim, depending on the various names that have been used for God. But if we see in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26, the Bible says, "Let us make man." So we can see the plurality of the Godhead, in which we have seen that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So God has chosen to reveal himself in three persons. That means these are three distinct persons of the Godhead. That means the Father is distinct from the Son, and the Son is distinct from the Holy Spirit, and he has every characteristic of God, in that he is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere. He is also omnipotent. That means he is all powerful. That means he has every power of God, and he is able to be any place and at any time, and he fills the entire universe. And one thing that we know is that the Jesus is God becoming man, in that he is also the Word. The Word became flesh. So the eternal Word of God, that means Kelma, or the Word of God, Kelma Allah, as how the in Arabic it puts, it refers to Jesus, who is the Creator. And when he became flesh, then he made his dwelling among us, and he walked this earth. And Jesus, when he was about to go, he called his disciples and he told them that, "I will not leave you as orphans, but I will ask the Father, who will send you another helper, who will be with you, and I will come back to you, and I will make my dwelling place with you." And when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, you will receive him, because he will live in you, and you will see him. Although the world does not see him, and the world cannot see him, But he will live in us and as believers. And also what we've also learned is that the Holy Spirit, as a person, he knows the mind of God. He knows the thoughts of God. He knows the deep things of God. And he is the revelator. He is the one that reveals thoughts of God. He is the one that reveals the guidance of God. He is the one that reveals the way of God. And he teaches us to say no to ungodliness and unrighteousness. He is the one that walks alongside. He is the Parakletos. And we've learned that by him being a comforter, he's also a counselor. By him being a counselor, he's also a standby. He is also one that is a strengthener. He is also our intercessor. He is our advocate. And we have looked at the various ministries of the Holy Spirit, of which we can see that he has a great purpose in us, in that he is our standby. He is in us. He fills us. He empowers us. He walks with us. He guides us. He directs us. You know, he helps us to walk a righteous life. He teaches us to say no. He also directs our ways, and he produces fruit in us. And we've also learned that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, gentleness, and self-control. So we have learned that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to various people liberally, in that it is he that determines what giftings he gives us. He gives each member of the body, and the purpose of the gifts are for the equipping of the body, and it is not to make anyone special or anyone different. But the Holy Spirit, he comes to make, and he comes to guide us. He comes to give each and every member a gift liberally, and I can assure you that there is no one who is not given a gift by the Holy Spirit. And there are various forms of gifts. These are the power gifts, which include the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, the gift, you know, of that results in miracles and demonstration of power. Then there's the gifts of speaking, of speeches, where we have the speaking in tongues, where we have the interpretation of tongues. Then you have also gifts of service. You have those that are, you know, leading, those that are giving, those that are, you know, do various services, music. All these are gifts and workings of the Holy Spirit. And I think we've not had time to go into detail, but maybe we'll see if we can be able to look at the different gifts, the different operations, the different workings, or the different administrations. But all these refer to the manifestations or the expressions of the Holy Spirit. And why do we see expressions? Is because we think of the wind, and we've learned of the metaphor of the Holy Spirit. As we're looking yesterday, we look at the metaphor or the symbolism of the Holy Spirit as water. I also ask you to look at the symbolism of the Holy Spirit as fire, as the anointing, or rather as oil. There's also the metaphor of the Holy Spirit as wind. And I remember in the encounter of Jesus and Nicodemus, he was very clear that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he says that you see the wind, it goes from one place to another, and you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And Jesus said, so will it be of those that are born of the Spirit. And in just recognizing that, we can see that when we speak of the workings of the Holy Spirit, or the manifestations of the various expressions of the Holy Spirit, one thing that we can be clear is that we might not be able to see him physically as we see this physical seeing, but what we can see is that we can see his effect in the life of believers, his effect in the world, his effect in making a difference. And that's why Jesus was very clear, and that is what we've been reading, that the world cannot receive him, the world cannot accept him, because the world neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. You know, no eye has seen, if you look at 1 Corinthians 2, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has prepared for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And God has revealed it to us. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is so that we know the what is freely, freely given us of God. And we learn, you know, spiritual truths. We learn things about the Spirit, from them, about the mind of God, the deep things of God, and we are able to teach using spiritual words. Like right now, we're comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and what I highlighted that is that we can have various expressions, various learnings, various understandings, and this all that we are teaching, all that God has helped us for so far, is just to teach and to help us understand Him as a person. And I know that He is pleased. And we've also seen the Holy Spirit is also grieved. He has, you know, He has emotions, and He is silenced by our sin. Whenever we fall into sin, whatever we do that is in opposition to Him, He is silenced and He is grieved. But one thing that we have learned is that He never leaves us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus told His disciples, "And lo, I am with you to the very end of the age." And how is He with us? He is with us through the presence, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is that which, or that who, guarantees our redemption, because we are marked with Him in a seal guaranteeing our redemption. So as long as you have the Holy Spirit in you and working in you, then you can be sure that you are guaranteed eternal life. And this is the eternal assurance that we have in Christ. The moment that we know and we have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is at work in us, then we are assured of eternal life, because that is the mark of God. You know, in the last days there's going to be the mark of the beast, and there's going to be a mark of those who have rejected God. And I know the Bible speaks of a physical mark, you know, on the forehead and on the hand, by which no one would be able to buy or sell. I also believe that there is also going to be a mark of the saints, and the mark of the saints, what I believe, is the presence, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who will mark us, who has sealed us, who has set us apart. And you know, like in the Bible, when we would think of kings would have a seal, and even companies do have a seal. Companies will have, like, I think anyone who's worked, even when you have your certificate from a university, there's a seal that they have that is usually on the document. And if you have a certificate without that seal, then that certificate is illegal, or rather it is fake. So the mark that we are believers, the mark that we have received the Holy Spirit, and that we have salvation in us, and this you'll find in Ephesians 1 verse 13, and says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." So the Holy Spirit is a seal, and that seal is a mark of ownership, is a mark of identity, and He is the one who makes the difference in the life of the believer, to transform them from death to life, and to regenerate their spirit, and to make them a new creation, a new species, you know, a new species on the earth. And this new creation is one that walks as the sons of God on the earth, one of whom the Father has given His Spirit, one of whom God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit dwell in them. And this new creation is not only on the earth, but is also in heaven.
because at the same time, this new creation is seated in heaven, in Christ, in heavenly places, at the right hand of the Father. And at the same time, we are also on the earth, and on the earth we reign and we rule. Why? Because of our position and because of what Christ has done. The simple sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is what paid the price for our salvation, paid the price for the healing of our bodies, paid the price to destroy every curse. And that is why we cannot be cursed, and we are not curseable. And because Christ became, redeemed us from the curses and redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. So every curse that came as a result of sin, that includes sickness, that includes poverty, that includes rejection, that includes every evil thing that we see on the earth, was redeemed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thus, every sickness is illegal in our bodies. Every poverty is illegal in our lives. Every suffering, everything that is of wickedness is illegal in our lives, because it is not what God calls us, and it is not what we expect of Him. And because Christ paid the price, and we need not suffer and pay for what Christ already paid for. We need not suffer and we need not pay for what Christ already paid for. It is like going on a ship and paying again for a bill that is already paid for. And we see even in the metaphor when Moses was told to speak to the rock. The first time he was told to strike the rock, so he struck the rock and water came forth. And the second time God told him to speak to the rock. That means he was supposed to speak to God. He was not supposed to, and remember, Christ is that rock. He was not supposed to make Christ suffer again. But in anger, he struck the rock the second time. And even though water came out, he was told, because of this reason, you shall not enter the promised land. And that is a warning to every leader and to every, you know, Christian, that even though we have the results, even though we have the manifestations of the results, there is no assurance that results guarantee that we are right with God. And that's one thing that Jesus told, that in that day many will say, we heal the sick in your name, we raise the dead in your name, you know, we cast out devils in your name. And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. So our main importance is that may we God show us mercy. That even Paul himself, he will say that, I pray that after I have preached to others, may I myself not be disqualified from the prize. Let me not be disqualified. And that is more of a self-reflection that each and every person must have, that am I in the faith? That he says, let everyone who is standing take heed that they do not fall. Take heed that they do not fall. So it is our journey to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, in obedience with the Holy Spirit, that releases and results in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we say that the fruit is one component, one composite component of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of gentleness, and of self-control. So we have one composite that, and that tells us that we have a responsibility as believers to see our lives, to judge ourselves, because God tells us, judge for yourself, see yourself first, and see if there's any reason or if there's any thing that will make us fall. And the Holy Spirit does that work. He reminds us of things that where we have erred and where we need to restore our fellowship with God. And anytime you have that sensitivity that you have done something wrong, then that means the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, and is convicting the world of sin. He comes to convict us of sins. And anytime you are convicted of a wrongdoing, it is quick that you go and that you restore your fellowship to God by confessing your sins and purifying. And he purifies us of all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus. And for me, you know, I was reflecting on also on how God dealt with Cain, or even with Adam, in that God's concern was with Adam, what have you done? And I believe there was a provision in God, even in that time, he would have forgiven them. He would have forgiven them. I mean, God is not limited in his capacity, because there was a tree of life and there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I believe if Adam had just simply said, God, I'm sorry, I sinned against you, who knows how the response of God would have been, and he would have just given him back life, you know, and restored him back to the place of authority. And I mean, if you compare with how God dealt with Saul and how God dealt with David, we can see that David, the moment he was confronted of his sin, he repented. And God calls him a man after his own heart. But Saul, even after he was told, his main concern was, honor me before the people, honor me before the people. So if our focus is on men, then we are not servants of God. If our focus is on who claps for us, or who recognizes what we have done, or whether we get the reward of what we have done, or how we have labored, then it is not of God. Then it is not of him. It becomes our own righteousness. It becomes our own works. It becomes dead works. But the moment we give glory to God and recognize that everything that we have, everything that we have done is just by grace. It is not of our own human efforts. Is not of our own human capacity, but it is by the grace of God. Then we are encouraged, and we know that God is God. He's above situations. He's above our expectations. He remains to be true. And one of the things that we've also learned, and we need to keep learning, is that God's word is truth. Whatever God has said is true, because he is a spirit of truth, and truth is not relative. There is no middle ground in truth. If something is evil, it is evil. If something is right, it is right. If something is wicked, it is wicked. There is no gray area with God. There is no warmth, lukewarm. And God said, because you are neither hot nor cold and you are lukewarm, I will spit you out. And so God does not like mixture. In fact, God detests and hates mixture. And in the days of ignorance, he forgave. But now he commands all men everywhere to obey him, to follow him, to go after his son. And that is his will is revealed in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. So there's been a lot that we've been learning about the Holy Spirit, about who he is, about his workings in our lives, and about the support that he gives us as the believers. We've learned of how he helps us in prayer. We learned of how he gives us, you know, he gives us prayer points as we're praying. He deposits the mentions of people. He deposits the names of people that we need to commit to God in prayer. And he's able, you know, to direct, and he's able to show us the way. So we have a reason, we have a purpose, we have a grace and a direction, you know, to trust in God and to depend on him and to know that he is more than able. So that's just what I wanted to reflect on that. And I feel free that if you have any questions that you like to ask, any questions that you want to, you know, to share, if something is not clear, and of what we have been learning about the Holy Spirit, please feel free to share it in the comments or in message. You can just get back to me. And maybe just to quickly look at an aspect of the workings and the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And I just want us to just think of of spiritual gifts, you know, and I know it's a very big, big topic, and it's one area that is really abused. And the reason for that is because, sadly, men tend to value gifts because it is what they see. It is a manifestation of that that is expressed. You see, like someone who's, you know, you can imagine someone who is able to work miracles in our time. And I was listening to I think one of the preacher, and he was giving us a good analogy that if some of the abilities that were in the early church, that means the disciples of Jesus, like for example, and I'll borrow this from him because I thought it was very profound. If Peter, it was discovered that per adventure that if Peter passed in a place, his shadow was healing people, and people discovered that, and they just say that let's just put our sick, that if just in case he passes and they will be healed. If that was to happen in our time, men of God would actually make people pay for that shadow. You would find even that they will even have bodyguards to guard the shadow. If someone was to stay in the shadow like 1 hour, he might be charged in thousands of dollars. So how long do you want to stay in the shadow? So you can find because that, and I thought it was very true, because the reality is that in our time, people have taken the gifts of God that God has given to them freely, and they have merchandised them. They have made them into profit-making entities. And there's nothing wrong in God, blessing you through your gift, but there is a problem when we get to the point where we merchandise, where it becomes a business, where, you know, whether you're a man of God and you're called, and the first concern is how much are you going to say, how much are you going to give me in the envelope? And that's the biggest concern nowadays. Is there an envelope? What is the size of the envelope? And negotiations are held. And even if it's not by the person, there are those who maybe in quotes, dignified way, they do it through their secretaries or through their agents, and you have to pay all the money before they come. You have to book them in a certain level of hotel. There's a certain kind of car that should pick them. You have to book them with all their choir. Maybe you have to book them with, I don't know, 18 intercessors. You have to book them with their, you know, their musicians, with their, you know, everything. Like it can, and you can imagine maybe it's a small church that does not have that capacity, and that person has no way to welcome that gift. And so you find that the gift that was given by God, and one thing we know is that the giftings of God are without repentance. That means that once God has given a gift, he does not take it away. And you can find someone totally abusing the gift of God, even like maybe the gift of prophecy. You can find someone is totally abusing it, yet he continues to operate in that gift. And the challenge with that is that God is a kind of employer who can sack you from your job and still let you to keep the office. That means that, like for Saul was already rejected, but he continued still being king. So the giftings and call of God are without repentance. And that's how you'll find musicians who God gave them the gift while they were in the church, while they were singing in gospel music, while they were in Sunday school. And they went to the world and they made covenants in that. God does not take away the gift from them. And they continue, you know, having that gift. And it's because the devil is a thief. He does not give anything, because every good and perfect gift is from above. But he steals them, and he steals men and makes covenants with them, and these gifts continue to operate in these individuals, yet they are not for the glory of God. So in Proverbs 18 verse 16 tells us that a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the presence of the great. That means that the gift that God has placed in your life, even the gift of the Holy Spirit, is able to make room for you. I find it interesting how you find certain people try to, you know, to market themselves. Oh, can you invite me to your church? Oh, you know, can you do this? Can I come? I think the gift will always make room for you. The Bible tells us that the Gentiles come to your light and the kings come to the brightness of your rising. So Gentiles will be attracted by your gift, will be attracted by your light. But there are certain people who only come when you're rising brightly. That means they come to the brightness of your rising. Those are kings. So if as your gift, as you sharpen your gift, as you do not neglect your gift, as you fan into flame the gift of God in you, then it makes room for you. And in that room for you, and in bringing you in the presence of the great, no one comes to the presence of the mighty and leaves away empty-handed. I mean, if you can remember, like I think it was in Kenya, where the President Moi and children, schools, you know, high school students, primary school students, leaders, village elders, everyone will make their time to go to State House and to the president's place, and they will sing and praise him, and you know, even when he visits their schools, they will sing his songs, and the end result was that he was always moved in his heart and he was always generous and predisposed towards them. And likewise, you ask yourself, if this is how earthly kings behave, how much more of our Heavenly Father when we spend time with him, and when we, you know, we spend ourselves on him, how much more does he give? So the gifts that we have can bring you favor. You know, if you look at and royalty, if you look at Proverbs 19 verse 6, it says that many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend of he who gives gifts. Proverbs 21 verse 14, a gift in secret pacifies anger. So your gift can give you favor. Your gift is able to work out favor. It's able to make room for you. And you know, the gift that God gives you is a tool of impact. That's why I've said, arise, Psalm 60 verse 1, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the kings of, you know, and the kings and the glory of God rises upon you. The Gentiles shall come to the light, to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So your gift is a deposit of God, is a deposit, is a marker of your distinction. Because not every man is the same, even in God. I mean, God is so diverse. God is so unlimited that he can make you as uniquely gifted than any other man on the earth. You can sing, but not everyone sings like you. You can sing, but you also maybe are good in teaching. So there are singers who cannot teach, but there are singers who can teach, who can also give, who can also lead, who can also administer, who can also prophesy. And you can see these are various expressions of the gift and the multiplicities of gifts. And God can gift anyone liberally as he chooses. The challenge with that is that we have a responsibility. The Bible says, to whom much has been given, much is demanded. Much is required. So there are the ascension gifts. They are gifts of men. That means that Ephesians 4 verse 8 to 11, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. It was he that gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. And all this was for the perfecting of the saints for work of ministries until they reach unity of faith. So this can also be called the gifts of men. It can also be called the ascension gifts or offices. So these are gifts of Christ himself. And this here, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. Now, usually, you'll find that people argue that there are those who believe that the apostles, ended with the 12 apostles. Well, when we are referring to the apostles that are among the 12, and those that were the one that was chosen to replace Judas, then clearly we can see that there were only 12, or there could only be 13 in that manner. But Paul is also listed as an apostle, also Barnabas Jr. is also listed as an apostle. That means that there are other ascension gifts and ascension apostles. These are offices that are a gift of Christ to the church. Then there are also the gifts of the Spirit, which are the charismas. What does that mean? That these are the gift of the Spirit. And if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in different tongues, interpretation of tongues. By the same Spirit." These are the work of one and the same Spirit. These are charismas. These are manifestations. These are expressions. As I say that we all have various giftings that the Holy Spirit gives us. Some people will say there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, but ideally there are so many gifts. And another classification of gifts that we have are the ministry gifts, which are spiritual enablement or graces of God that are given to empower people. So in Romans chapter 12 verse 4, it says, "For as we have many members of one body, not all have the same office. Even though we are one body and everyone is a member of another, then each have gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us." So that means that we have different graces. There are those who are just naturally their servants. They love to serve. They love to help. They love to, to stand as ushers. They love to, to lead others. They love counting offering. They love they use their gifts even in just painting, or drumming. Those are just ministry gifts. So they're according to the grace. If your grace is teaching, teach diligently. If your grace is giving, give generously. If your gift is service, do it with humility. Do it energetically. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy for the encouragement of the body. All the gifts of God that are given to us are for the benefit of the church, are for the profit of all. That means even as you profit, even as God, blesses you through that, ensure that you are also blessing others. You're also benefiting the body. There is no one who lights a lamp and he places it under a table. What is the purpose of God gifting you so much and him hiding, or you hiding yourself, and what will be the benefit of your gift to the body, your gift to the church, if you're not an expression, if you're not releasing that which God has given? No one lights a lamp and puts it under the table, but he puts it on a lampstand in the highest place in the house so that it might give room to the whole house. Anytime we're serving God's purposes, he lights us as a lamp. And one of the things that we see in the warnings to the churches in Revelation, he says that if you do not repent, I will come and take away your lampstand from you. That means that you as a light, God elevates you. A lampstand is like a lamp holder. So God, wherever God has placed you, he has put you on a lampstand. And that is a place of authority that he has given you to demonstrate him, to show forth his light. That's why he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to God. I know there's a time that God hides you and he's developing your gift. And that is okay. But even in that hiding, he gives you expressions. He gives you moments to exercise that gift. Even with the disciples, he was with them, but eventually he sent them for practicals. And they came back rejoicing. So even in your hidden state, we must see some activity of God working in you. And you having small hidden victories. David was anointed. But you can see he had the victory of chasing away demons through music. He had the victory of fighting Goliath. He had the victories of the various battles he fought under, fighting the Philistines, under King Saul. So there are multiplicity of small wars and small challenges that God brings our way, even for our gifts to be strengthened. Because the Bible says he teaches our fingers for war. He helps our hands to bend bronze and bars of iron and bars of bronze. So every challenge that you go through, every difficulty that you're going through, think of it as God working it out in you, refining you and teaching your hands to war and teaching your hands to bend a bar of bronze. And that is God at work in your life. I tell you, when God is at work in your life, no one will understand. To you, to the outside world, it will look like you have failed. It will look like things are not working. And people will wonder, where is your God? Why is this healing that you keep talking about? Why are you still limping? Why are you still in pain? Yet in that working it out, God is working out righteousness. God is working out perseverance. God is at work in you, refining you and making you holy. Let us appreciate the little victories, the day-to-day victories that we are going through, because we are being conformed into his image, growing from one level of glory to another. So even before your final manifestation, that time when you'll become president, rejoice when you become a member of parliament, or rejoice first of all when you win that union leadership. When you become a student leader, rejoice in those, because that is part of the journey. Those are part of the lessons. When you become a member, when you become this, when you become a governor, when you become, every stage is a process in the journey. And there is much to learn in how God builds men. How does God build men? God has a way. He has a pattern. And he says, no son that he loves, he does not discipline. And there's a way, there's a school of the Spirit that God works. And in many times, we have to pass all those lessons. And at times, we have to pass the lesson of not being seen. Can we be faithful to God, even when no one is watching? Let us give thanks to God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray as we reflect on your doing, as we reflect on your faithfulness, as we reflect on the workings of the Holy Spirit, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, may we be faithful not to merchandise the gift that you've given us. May we be faithful to fan into flame the gift of God that is in us. May we be faithful to be obedient to the truth of the gospel. May we be faithful to return back the profit that you expect of us, O God. Because you do not light a lamp and you put it under the table, but that it might bring light to the entire room. And I thank you for the lampstand that you've given us, O God. Help us to be faithful that you shall not take it away from us. May we give light to to the entire room. And may we shine for the glory of God, that we shall shine bright as stars in the firmament. God, you are faithful, you are holy, and there is no one else like you, God. Receive the glory and the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Have a blessed day, and I pray that we shall be able to catch up again on this channel tomorrow as God leads us and as God allows us. Blessed, blessed day. Bye.